Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode number 163 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. Just the two of us this week. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well. Happy to be with you.
I know. Just the two of us. Yeah, I'm going to regret singing that. How you doing? How's tricks?
I'm very good. I'm very interested in our topic today, and I'm thinking about my relationship with work and what I do, and the idea that I actually don't work. So my life is full of I do things and I get money for them. I don't put the label work on what I do. I live my life.
Yeah.
So I've been living my life for the last week and very happily. And I really enjoy it. And I think that I'd love everybody to live in that space. But they don't.
Well, we're going to help people along that road, aren't we? We're talking about long-term unemployment today.
What have you been up to in the last week? Do you consider that you've been working? What have you been doing?
Yeah, well, it's funny. No, I try not to think of it like that. I've been helping people out here, there, and everywhere with a range of issues, usually creative issues and digital stuff. But yeah, I'm part of the I don't work crew.
But people exchange your time for money.
Yep. Yeah. Hang on a sec. Are we on the right setting here? Your voice is very low on this.
What do you mean my voice is very low?
I'm used to you booming out.
Oh. How's that? Is that better?
That looks a bit better.
That better?
That's cool. Yeah, that's much better. There we go.
My voice does need to be booming out.
Yeah, I've been working, and there's been people working in our house of late because we've had an extension job on the go, and it's complete and it's looking beautiful.
And is it nice to have that extra space?
Yeah, it's one of those. We're still at a weird phase where we're kind of coming down in the morning, a bit bleary eyed. It's kind of a bit of a shock when you see this, where there used to be a wall and a door into a side passage and the old utility room. There's now this beautiful new shiny extension, which we haven't trashed just yet. There isn't food all up the wall or anything like that.
There will be.
Yeah, we made sure it was decorated with that kind of soft sheens, wipeable stuff.
Yeah, some amazing paint session. I tell you, really, really good paint is to the magnetic paint.
Okay.
But you can get different colours.
Yeah.
Because then the kids can use all kinds of things to stick on the wall.
Yeah, and you get chalk, like blackboard chalk paint now.
Yeah.
I mean, I know chalk paint's all the rage. Like, girls are just painting everything wooden with chalk paint.
Yeah. You can't move for people. You sit there long enough, you'll be painted.
But yeah. No, it's cool. So that's been quite an interesting little process. I've enjoyed answering questions along the way with the builder. And
yeah,
there's a couple of things I would have done differently, of course, but...
Yeah.
Hey-ho. Yeah. Should we crack on?
Yeah.
Because we have had an email from a listener, and we do encourage our listeners to email us in with suggestions for shows for the future. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Head over there and have a look at all previous episodes if you want. And yeah, drop us an email from the contact page if there's something you would like us to discuss. But we've had a listener, Lee, who's emailed in. Spam call. Yeah, that's another number to block. Sorry, my phone was ringing there. Lee is emailing because he's kind of recently retired due for medical reasons at the ripe old age of 42.
Right.
I wouldn't say which industry he was working in. I don't want to give up too much away. But this has kind of left a bit of a gap in Lee's life, and he's struggling with motivation in terms of looking for other work. So I assume he's physically able to... do quite a bit still.
That's the bit that we don't know in the story, isn't it? Is to, if someone has been medically retired, the issue is, are they still able to do work in a traditional sense, as we would talk about? I guess that's where this concept of work or not work, which is what you and I have talked about a lot, both together and...
Well, yeah, I've put in our show notes here that both you and I are kind of long-term unemployed, and we're obviously...
Yeah.
We jump out of bed every morning.
It's weird, isn't it? When I have spent... Well, if I go back to me in the 80s, coming out of being in monastic communities and making decisions about what to do with life, the thing that I came to, it took me quite a while to get there, was the idea that I was only going to do things that made me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And when that came down to it, and I was honest with myself, the two things that made me feel best were working with other people and playing music. Now, I've done both those things for the whole of my life in exchange for money. I mean, I get paid for doing the things I do. I do lots of things for free.
Yep.
But I get paid for the majority of what I do. So I have an income, but I don't consider that I go to work. You know, going to work to me was going to places that I didn't really want to be at to do something to...
And that's not the case for everyone, should say, is it?
No, but I think that, for me, that's the difference, is that because I consider myself to be living my life, you know, and in that sense, I don't have a concept of going to work.
I think there's a distinction to be made as well. Alain de Botton, the British philosopher,
yep.
He kind of talks about not just unemployment and the effects of that, but misemployment, in the sense that
you're in the wrong
place, so many people are in the wrong job.
Yeah, and they're unhappy.
And that causes just as much misery as being unemployed,
yep.
with not knowing where to do and not knowing what to do in the morning and where you're going to... Well, there's obviously financial implications as well. But I think that's quite a big issue as well. So it's not just people that listen here. I'm hoping that are seeing the title about unemployment and thinking it doesn't relate to them, because a lot of people are misemployed, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's the right phrase. Yes. I think that's the phrase you used.
I think that's a very appropriate phrase, isn't it? I mean, how many people are doing things, you know, maybe they can't even remember why they started doing it, but then it became a habit and they just carried on doing it and that was just what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do work with lots of people through occupational health departments where people are saying, you know, I wake up in the morning and I think, oh, God. And they drag themselves into work and they don't like it. You know?
Yep.
And you know, life's a bitch and then you die kind of attitude.
Sure.
And doesn't have to be like that, but that's what a lot of us live with.
Yeah, I mean, and technology's taken us in some interesting directions, and it will do in the next 10, 15, 20 years and beyond. I mean, obviously... Unemployment in kind of the way the industry has shifted in the last 100 years, from kind of industrial revolution jobs and obviously like coal mines shutting down, that can have a huge impact on a big community. It's kind of these people need to be reskilled and I'm assuming probably thinking like they don't have a place anymore in the world, which must be horrendous. And now we're getting to the point now where technology is taking over a lot of the jobs. Kind of you see cars being put together by robots and all that stuff.
But one of the things that you've talked about with me a few times is a concept that the technology will become so great that we don't need to work.
Yep.
Yeah, and I get that as a concept, but the way that human beings are selfish, and they're the people that own industry and the people that are done to by industry. It's like, where's the motivation for the people that have the wealth creating companies, even though they are using robots? Where's the motivation for them to share that wealth with the people that effectively are not working, because they don't need to work? But the problem is, if the people that aren't working don't earn money, they haven't got the money to buy the goods that the people that, you know, it's a mad kind of conundrum, which probably says things like, ultimately, things like money has to go. You know, that we stop using this idea of we've got these tokens and I've got more tokens than you've got kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah, I do.
Big leaps, isn't
it? Yeah, big time. And I think I've mentioned a couple of artificial intelligence, AI articles I've read recently, which is this thing called the singularity, which is when AI kind of matches human intelligence at that point and just starts to overtake us.
Yep.
And that's predicted it's going to hit in the next, by 2030 latest, probably.
Yeah.
And when it hits that point, and when computers go past us, that within days it's thought the world will change, because technology will just kind of be recreating things that our minds can't imagine. And there's obviously a couple of different ways it could go. It could go really bad for us, or it could obviously create this incredible world of abundance where, yeah, we don't need to work. But that in itself will create all these other issues, which a lot of people, coal miners without jobs, people who are long-term unemployment, are starting to realise that just because you haven't got a job, it doesn't mean you can just sit around and do nothing, because that just leads to depression, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, either depression if we're focusing on what was, or anxiety if we're worrying what will be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the way it appears to me is that everybody, whether it's a tramp, a millionaire, housewife, a miner, doesn't matter who it is, every day, everybody gets this check for 24 hours. You know, you've now got 24 hours. How are you going to use this 24 hours? And you could say, okay, I go to work. Okay, so why do you go to work? Because anybody, if they invest their time profitably, and that might be emotional profit, cognitive profit, it doesn't have to be financial profit, at the end of the day, they're going to feel good.
Yeah.
So just because you don't have a job to go to make money, doesn't mean to say that there aren't things that need to be done for you, for your self-development, for others, to support others. You know, mm-hmm. It's like there's loads of stuff going on in the world. And in a sense, there's no reason for anybody to be unoccupied. It's just deciding, what does occupation mean?
Yep.
And how do we do that? How do we get that going? Mm-hmm. And all the kind of things that we're talking about here, about changes in the world politic, and how things, because we used to be an industrial nation and we're not.
Yep.
Now, other people do that physical work. So what happens to the people that used to do the physical work?
Hmm.
And is it that they're unemployed and they're on the dole and there is nothing for them to do?
Yep.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think that for Lee, and obviously we don't know him, we just got this kind of idea, haven't we?
It's like, we do, yeah.
For Lee, the issue I'd be, if I was sat down with him, I'd be looking at his skill base for a starter, then I'd be looking at his expectation base. And I'd be saying things like, you know, what do you really want? What is it that makes you feel good?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would be seeking to try and match his needs and his skills with practical things that he could do that would take that one step further. It would increase his happiness. Yeah, and hopefully they would be things where there would be a monetary exchange in as well.
Yep.
And he would get paid for being fulfilled.
I was trying to think of that movie, The Full Monty, Robert Carlyle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got all these kind of middle-aged chaps sitting in the job centre.
Yeah.
Basically just bumming around trying to kill time. Yeah. And then I haven't seen the movie in that long. I can't remember who comes up with the idea.
Yeah.
Of, I know what we could
we
do.
Need to get back and watch that.
Yeah, maybe that's a good resource.
Yes.
The Full Monty.
Yeah.
But yeah, amazing movie. Yeah. And it's a good lesson in kind of how... you don't need to be necessarily looking just for that employment in the sense of putting food on the table, which is important. You know, I get that people need to pay the bills.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of fulfillment can come from a lot of different places.
I think that the other thing in what we're talking about is people are retiring at kind of 55, 60, 65.
Yeah.
That's obviously going to go up over the next sort of 5-10 years. But it means that people have this period of time, which is probably somewhere between 20 and 35 years to live. Now, what do people do with that? Do they stop functioning as people? I think we've got to get our head around the idea that you may have stopped the role that you play in society, that you traditionally play throughout your working life. But because you've retired from that, it doesn't mean so that you shouldn't do things.
Yep.
And contribute to society. You
know? Yeah, we should get my dad in here as a special guest.
We should.
Because, he's a textbook example there. He's retired at, I think, 63, kind of.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's... And I think that was about coming up for 3 years ago. But his days are full still. He's not going in the office and putting his suit and tie on every day. His days are full. Not jam-packed. He kind of has quite a sedate lifestyle, and he doesn't kind of rush to get up in the morning or anything. But, yeah, he does a lot of cycling. He's in a choir group. He plays racquetball with his pals. And he's just enrolled on... Or he might just be finishing, like, a local history course. Obviously, he spotted this early on that he kind of needed to fill his time. And probably my mum did as well. Yeah. She probably got, within a week of him being retired, sick of him kind of moping around the house. Get out and do something. But yeah, he's filling his time brilliantly. But for my generation as well, you know, how long, who knows what the retirement age is going to be by the time I hit 60, 70, 80.
It goes one or two ways, doesn't it? Either it's the case that retirement ages will go up, so it'll be 70, 75.
Yep.
Or this idea of technology is going to come in and be doing things, you know, therefore we need less people, so retirement ages come down. I'm aware of automation. If I go into the supermarket, I can either go to a real person on a till, or I can go to the robot computer,
yeah,
where this monotone woman talks to me to scan my stuff, and then she tells me how much I've got to pay her.
Mm-hmm. Please wait for assistance if you try and get some booze through one of those things.
Yes.
Yeah, done that.
Yeah.
What do you like to do? Do you prefer to go speak to the person, or do you like to...
I like people. People are quite attractive to me.
Yeah.
I've never been attracted to a robot.
Well, my resource of the week might knock it on every, but it's not what you think. Yeah.
The other one is that in surgery now, in the NHS, we have robots doing operations.
Yeah.
You know, quite delicate operations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could say, yeah, it's good that. But it is the issue of people, if the robotic thing carries on, then people do become less relevant, don't they?
Yep.
It is in that sense. I mean, you're talking about this point where, what did you call it?
The singularity.
The singularity.
Yeah. Okay, so get into YouTube and you'll find all sorts of cool stuff.
So, but at that point, is that where, you know, the machine takes over? So the robot or the robotic systems, the computerized systems, their main command is that you mustn't harm human beings. So then they then take control and switch in to stop human beings doing things that they consider might harm them.
Yeah. So there are a lot of crazy philosophical questions,
yeah,
about this what that when we reach that point. And it's almost we can't not reach it because technology and the way processes, we can't.
Yeah.
There's no one person that can put a stop to it. So it's coming.
Yeah.
So when we write that line of code to say how the machine treats us, we need to be really specific.
Yeah.
About, and in fact there is, I'll try and dig it out, there is a paragraph that someone has written which is supposed to be what the best current template we have for robotics and artificial intelligence, so that we're not, so they don't harm us and they don't take an instruction not to harm us as trap us in a cage. So we can't go out and like just feed us oxygen and drop a little apple in every now and again. It's amazing, really. It's pretty scary. Interesting times. But getting back to Lee and his issue, I've talked about a few things that my dad has done. Lee's obviously a lot younger than my old man.
Yep. The issue would have to be, like I say, if you sat down with Lee, we got him here now, we should get him in here.
Yeah.
The issue is, okay, what do you want? You know, what would make you feel good? Because the issue is, if it's an issue of I have to earn money, that's one set of issues, as opposed to I need to be fulfilled and the money's a byproduct of my fulfillment, that's another issue. It depends on which way we're coming at this.
We had Steve Shotton on a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? And actually Belinda from last week as well, because she was made redundant from her job.
Yeah.
And both of those guys Belinda took the plunge because she was kind of forced to, but they both found work that is, it gets them out of bed in the morning and they can kind of, it's not like a chore to do,
yeah,
the work, is it?
But then we had Conrad on, remember in his story, he was kind of hit by a truck, and it was after he recovered from his injuries that he started doing all the sports stuff.
Had the epiphany.
Yeah.
Because it's, for some people it comes, well, you're hit by a truck and it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
For someone like Lee, I'm guessing, again, we've got to kind of fill in the gaps a little bit. He's kind of got a bit more of a time frame to figure this stuff out, and if he's not careful, I'm guessing that if he doesn't find it soon-ish, things could start to go on a downward trajectory, and that lack of motivation can become quite harmful.
Yeah, which raises the issue about sometimes you do need to go and talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And for most people in Britain, that would be going to the GP and getting a referral through to the kind of psychological medicine bit and having some counselling support.
Yeah.
And that might be about resolving issues, because if we have been made redundant or we've had to take early retirement, that could be through a traumatic incident. It could be through a debilitating illness. You know, I guess if anybody is in a physical situation where they're going to be retired from their workplace, that has to, at some level, not be good news because something's happened to them. I can remember when they still had national service, and if someone was turned down for national service, because no one wanted to do national service, but if you got turned down for national service, that was like, oh my God, it meant there was something wrong with you and they wouldn't take it.
Really?
You know, so it was like serious if they wouldn't take it. You know, so it was better to go and do something you didn't want to do than to be told that you couldn't do it. Crazy.
What were your kind of, I mean, you've been, yeah, we've been unemployed for a while now, but what was it that flipped the switch for you? Or how did you?
Well, it was coming back from, I mean, living in the communities that I lived in. Although I was very active, I was unemployed, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
That then followed on to being here. And because my main tradable skill at the time, when in the 80s, when I was back out again, was playing music. So I just went out and gigged. So, but the decision, and that just kind of created income. So I could do, like, you know, wine bars and bistros and stuff like that. And I did 7 or 8 gigs a week sometimes, so I'd do Sunday lunchtime as well. So that created an income. That was all right. But the issue was, what am I going to do with this thing called life? I had a lot of it to live. So what am I going to do? So in the end, the decisions that I made were to do things that made me feel good. And that was my starting point. So that everything that I've done has been driven by that.
Yeah.
And if I ever got to the point where I woke up in the morning thinking, God, I don't want to do what I've got to do, I wouldn't do it. I'd change it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't spit my dummy out and refuse to go in, but I would actually change my life. I wouldn't do
it. Yeah, that's it. It doesn't have to be a flick the switch and
you
can take time.
Yeah.
Got it?
Yeah.
Like we were chatting with Steve a few weeks ago, and he isn't.
Yeah, it's taken him a few years to develop what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that few years is the work that is enjoyable, that bit, isn't it? It's like
a journey.
You don't have, it's not just flicking a switch and all of a sudden it, because happiness is a journey, not a destination, as we say.
Yeah.
That bit, that journey bit is the important bit.
Yeah.
That's the fulfilling bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw someone yesterday who's decided as a mature student, to go back to university and do a particular degree.
Mm.
You know, and one of the fears for people like that always is, am I going to be the only old person there kind of thing? And yet on most courses, there are quite a few mature students that are working their way through things. You know, made decisions. They've lived a life and they've decided to change it.
Yep.
Because one of the predictions in psychology is that as we're living longer, that people won't be able to do one job all their lives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll die of boredom. But that they need to be stimulated in other ways, or maybe there's jobs that you can't actually do until you're 75. You know, it must be pretty tough being a road worker when you're 75. You know, there's other things.
But there are other skills that comes with the wisdom of being around that long.
Yep. So the idea that we will have 2 or 3 mainline professions in our lives is the way it appears to be going.
Yep.
So from that point of view, Lee is probably at the spearhead of what will become normality.
Hmm.
You know, people in their 40s may be changing their roles.
Yeah, I guess it's important for him to see that what's happening to him isn't that unique, or this is just a part of what's going to be happening to everyone in the future. I'm aware, you know, I build websites, but I can't see myself being a website graphic designer when I'm 50. I've no idea what I will be doing then.
Brain surgeon.
Yeah, but because automation is going to come in from that side of things, and you can already go online and build your own website quite easily. People still come to me because you need that kind of human eye. The systems where you just drag and drop stuff.
But there is a skill base that you have that other people don't have, and that is part of that is talent.
Yeah,
you know, and that's something that you've obviously. It must have inherited genetically, but you developed. But if I look at my own life, I've had distinct incarnations, you know, as a musician, as a monk, as a therapist, as a writer, you know, and it's like I see those evolutions carrying on.
Mm.
So that in converting the dreaded attic that's taken me so long but is now functioning, it's like the things that I'm working on up there are a part of what I see my next kind of incarnation to be,
yep.
which is becoming more of a kind of a digital being,
mm.
and doing audios of all the books and all that kind of stuff. So that it starts to expand out what I do. But it's a great difference to be up in the gods up there, working on things as opposed to being working in a clinic and hospital. It's a different world, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, one of the things we had a conversation, you decided to not work from home, but to have an office base. So you now travel over the water to Liverpool on a daily basis to go to your office.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that that's really kind of important, because you have to step out of where you are to get your head into what it is you need to do.
Yep.
Yeah. And having dedicated space for that, it's very hard if you're using a bedroom to be your office, because you step out of bed and there's your desk. And you actually need a kind of separate space.
Yeah.
To get a separate part of your personality working.
True. You know? Or to get it working at its best, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing, that when you're looking at the kind of dilemmas facing someone like Lee, is that we've seen work traditionally over the last kind of 30, 40 years as being you go to an employer and you do a job. The issue is that a news flash just came up.
Oh.
That's Michael Gove.
Oh, blimey. What's he done now?
He wants to run now. over the last 30, 40 years, people have done the traditional going to work thing. And because of the way the world has changed, I see more and more people doing what's described as portfolio working, where they might be working for 2, 3, 4 different organisations in a week.
Yep.
And maybe having different inputs.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get your head out of the idea that you need a job with an employer, it gives you a lot more scope to do lots of different things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Michael Gove there, but the politics of all this is way behind. There are a lot of talk, kind of mumblings and discussions about something called the universal basic income, which
yeah.
there's some I think there's somewhere in Canada is trialling it, and there's a few perhaps European nations that are going to give it a whirl,
mm-hmm.
in terms of what's going to happen. Okay, let's say our country can afford to give everyone in the nation $20,000 a year, no questions asked, doesn't matter who you are, what you do, how rich you are, how poor you are, there's $20,000, which is enough to have a decent life. And it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of thing works out, whether it can sustain itself, whether people will still, what people will go out and do in the day, whether they might go and help out local charities, or I don't know, do more gardening, who knows what.
But in a way,
or set up businesses, you know, with all that spare time.
Yeah, but you've got that now, you know, people that have retired at 60, 65, whatever.
Yeah.
They've got a pension of some sort.
Yep.
So what do they do with their time? Do they go and do charity work? There are the biggest area of new business startups is in the over 60s in Britain. So I mean, there are a lot of people that are developing those ideas.
Yep.
But yeah, I suspect that our biggest challenge in terms of the work world is to get out of the concept of working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, what are we doing with our time from when we get up to when we go to bed? Yeah.
I'm it's not all
suggesting that we're still getting nose on the grindstone.
Yeah, well, it's all that work-life balance stuff that we've talked about in the past, yeah. and there shouldn't be a divide, should there? It's just all life.
Mm.
That should be the goal.
So, in the same way that I'm saying that I've had what I'd see as quite distinct incarnations in this lifetime, as I've done different things, from choices, you know, don't want to do that, I'm not going to change this. You know, you're saying that you could see yourself changing into another incarnation for you.
Mm.
Do you have any inklings as to what that would be?
I don't know. I mean, I love doing this podcast, which doesn't generate a great deal of income yet.
But we could do something with that, couldn't we?
Yeah. Well, we talk about all the time. Well, we need to do video courses, and I'd like to do more other podcasts on other subjects.
Yeah.
A lot of the internet stuff, there's a lot of stuff you'll see online. If Lee's at home on his own quite a lot of the day in looking for work and jobs, then there's a lot of adverts around saying, make money at home, make $3,400 per day with Google.
Yeah.
And you've got to be careful about some of those things.
Yeah.
Because it's not the answer to everything,
no.
those incomes. But, for me, yeah, I like doing the podcast. I'm quite addicted to YouTube, and I see a lot of people on there making simple videos that haven't generated enough views to just, you know, make a nice little income for people, and
yeah,
they're just talking about what they love.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool. And what I'd say to Lee as well, maybe, is that, because it may not feel like it, but he is in a situation where a lot of other people are, whether they're in their 40s or early 60s and still with a lot ahead of them.
Yeah.
So maybe just document it, either whether it's just writing it down yourself and maybe thinking about publishing it at a later date, or set up a simple little blog. You know, go to medium.com or Tumblr, setting up a simple little blog where you're documenting your progress every day. Because there's a lot of other people out there in the same boat that you might be able to build a community around, or who knows what. Or just the process of getting it out there, the thoughts, is a healthy thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah. I like that.
There you go. That one's for Freely.
So we'll have the EdTV channel.
Yeah, and if you want an actually decent website, give me a call. Yeah, EdTV, I like that.
Yeah.
You got a resource of the week?
Well, I'm going to go back to an old chestnut, which I've used a few times, because it's very relevant. It's the Joe Vitale book, Attractor Factor.
Okay.
And what it does is it takes people to a decision of what do you want to do? Because we usually start off with, I don't know, or the choices are too big. What he takes you through a process where he gets you to answer questions for yourself, which pulls it in and pulls it in and pulls it in, until you start to get clarity of what it is that's important for you, where you're going to go with it. And it's a good resource.
Cool. Yeah, I mentioned that before. I'll stick that in. Mine is one I may have mentioned before as well. It's a movie called Her, H-E-R, Joaquin Phoenix, Spike Jonze directed it, but it's the most... Well, I say accurate because I don't know what the future is going to be like. It's set about 20-ish years in the future. And it's not like flying cars and all that stuff. It's quite down to earth. But I could see the technology and how it would get there. And basically, he falls in love with his operating system. So it's kind of like a Siri-ish way you speak to it. And it's on his, it's in his phone all the time. And he ends up falling for it. But it's quite a serious portrayal of how the love affair kind of goes over time. It's an amazing movie. So yeah, check that one out.
Yeah, sounds good.
But he does actually have a job. And he has a job which only a human can do. So he writes greeting cards. Or, like, if someone's died in the family, he'll write the message. And then he'll just dictate it into this machine. And then the machine will print it off and send it. But it needs that human touch, that kind of connection with people. But he's not that happy in his life. But anyway, check it out. Really, really cool movie. Okay, right. Not sure what we're talking about next week, but we do, as we said earlier, encourage people to get in touch, as Lee did. If there's anything you would like us to discuss on the show, drop us a line and
we'll be there.
We'll put it in there, won't we?
Yeah. Sure. And Lee, if you do need any one-to-one, or you do need to talk something through, then just email it to the show.
Cool. Right. Sean, thanks for your time.
You take care.
See you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.